I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to the Chronicles of Aguna, the Arsenal podcast, part of the 90 Min Football Network. As ever, I'm your host, Harry Simeon, and on this edition of the show, we're going to be talking William Saliba following the update with regards to his future that dropped yesterday. We're going to be talking about Yuri Tielemans, Gabriel Jesus, Kieran Tierney's return to first team action, hopefully in the not too distant future. Lots and lots to get into today. We'll be talking about some of the events over the weekend as well. Wales qualifying for the World Cup. Congratulations to them. Big, big achievement. That we'll be talking about Greece briefly because they've won back-to-back games under their new boss, Gus Poyet, who I'm sure Premier League fans will know very, very well. We'll be talking about Zinchenko, who once again impressed in a Ukraine shirt. And we'll be talking about England's defeat at Hungary a little bit later on as well, just briefly. But let me say a few hellos first, because there are lots and lots of you in the chat box. Let's say a big hello to Henry, to Juno, to Clock and Seb, who says day five of a hangover up the Arsenal. Look, a lot of people will be feeling that today. I mean, after that 4-day epic weekend that we had off the back of the Queen's Platinum Jubilee, you can understand why people are feeling a little bit worse for wear. You know, I woke up this morning and the realization that I had to get to work and looking outside and seeing the miserable weather, it all just kind of got on top of me. And I must admit, it took me a little bit longer than normal to kind of get into gear this morning. But we're here now. Big hello to Matt, who says, will he be on time? Well, obviously not, Matt. Big hello to John. Who else we got in there? Steve, Chris Carrick joins us from New York. Hope you're well, mate. Big hello to Matt G. Ishe says, Harry, are you not late? Of course not. Me, never. Matt says, come on, you Gunners. He also says, better late than never, which is true. Matt Tomo says, all right, I guess I'll have to take over the show. You know what? I'm going to hold you to that one day. John also says, I like the video if Harry's only 10 minutes late. Yeah, lots of grief about my timing, etc. Matt says that more Matts in this chat than players Arsenal link with this summer. True. Big hello to Fort Lauderdale Gunnar Craig, who says, what's up, Harry? Hope you're good, my friend. Hope you're good too, mate. Big hello to Yorgos, who joins us from Cyprus. Big hello to Stephen, who unfortunately is in hospital. Stephen, wishing you all the best, mate. Speedy recovery. Hope everything is okay. And glad that you're with us for this episode. Hopefully we can keep you a bit of company and hopefully get you through for a little while. So big shout out to you. And I'm sure I speak for the entire Chronicles of Aguna family when I say we wish you all the best. Big hello to Robert Segal, who says, is it true KSC are asking for fans to donate 50 million so we can buy more than three decent players? Who knows? What I will say is, though, let's chill out a little bit on the transfer window because it is still early days. It's way too early to be getting crazy about it at the moment. Big hello to Junior Gunner, to Daniel West, who joins us from Glasgow, to Raphael Lim, who joins us from Singapore. We've got Derek joining us from Australia. Azruz joins us from Estonia. Wow, we're all over the world today. All over the world. And I like this from Rob. He says, Harry doing an Oba. He's late. Take away the captaincy. If I were getting paid what Oba was getting paid, I promise you I would not be late. But there we go. Okay, look, let's dive into it then. And let's start off with the news about William Saliba. Now, I've got to say, I got a little bit riled yesterday by some of the tweets I saw in the morning when I woke up. So obviously we'd heard the night before that there was going to be some sort of interview from William Saliba in which he was going to, and I quote, speak on his future. That was what was going around on the Saturday night. And then, of course, on Sunday morning, having sort of woken up and read through a load of tweets online, I must admit, I got a little bit irritated by it all. And I tweeted something which was basically reading lots of tweets regarding Saliba's future and that he will address it today. Sorry, is he not contracted to Arsenal until 2024? I said, I'm not going to jump to any conclusions based on what he might or might not say, but this seems like a load of nonsense to me. And then later on, obviously, when those comments came out and we all heard what William Saliba had to say, I said, well, I'm pleased that it was all a load of hype for nothing. Because just like with everything, it was built up as if it was going to be this big revelation, as if William Saliba was going to drop a massive bombshell and say, I'm not coming back to Arsenal. I'm leaving. I don't want to be here. I want to join Marseille, whatever. And it's just so typical, isn't it? Of the media to kind of build something up to do with Arsenal that actually really doesn't have any legs. And so for me to hear William Saliba come out and finally himself put an end to the speculation about his future that has been built up based on the way he's been treated by Arsenal, you could argue, but also based on some comments that he's made in the past, I was just so happy to see it all killed and all squashed. Now, I've seen other people that are a little bit more negative about the whole Saliba thing, saying, well, it doesn't mean nothing that he's coming back unless he signs a new contract. He might sign a new contract. He might have a cracking season at Arsenal. He might come back and feel really good. He might come back and think, yeah, you know what? I want to be a part of this project moving forward. You never know with football. Somebody might pick up an injury and William Saliba might find himself in the team week in, week out. You know, if he puts in good performances, there's no reason why he can't compete for a place at centre-back alongside White and Gabriel. So people saying that William Saliba has no chance of being happy at Arsenal, has no chance of breaking into the side. I mean, I don't get that. I don't get how on the one hand you can say Arsenal have treated him so badly and it was such a mistake letting him go out on loan because he's so good. And then by the flip side saying, well, he's probably got not much chance of playing, so maybe he shouldn't come back. I don't get it. It's all hypocritical to me. At the end of the day, whatever way you want to look at it, sending William Saliba out on loan to Marseille, okay, for me, was the right thing to do. Arsenal made it clear, Mikel Arteta made it clear, the decision was taken that William Saliba was not going to be one of the starting centre-backs. And with the absence of European football, why would you keep hold of him? Let him sit on the bench. Yeah, okay, there's benefits to him being within the group. There's benefits to him being able to develop alongside the players that he's going to be playing with. There's benefits to him being in and around the place. But come on, the loan spell that he had at Marseille has done him the world of good. Why? It's made him more confident. It's given him more experience. It's driven up his value in the event that Arsenal do decide that he's not the one for them and want to sell him on. It's made it far more possible to get something close to what we paid for William Saliba back in the transfer market, if indeed we decided to take that decision. Now, we know that Arsenal haven't at this moment in time. From what we know, from what we understand, Mikel's quite happy for him to come back, wants him to come back. In fact, he said he must come back. And it seems like William Saliba has made his peace with the idea of returning to the club as well. So look, I'm really excited. I mean, I saw somebody tweet this earlier. I think it was James Cook, good friend of the show, something along the lines of, and I'm kind of paraphrasing because I don't have it to hand, but it was something along the lines of, if we had just signed a 21-year-old centre-back who just won the Young Player of the Year award in France, we'd all be absolutely buzzing. So why shouldn't we be buzzing now that William Saliba is returning? We should be. We should be excited and we should be hopeful of what he can show. You know, he's talked the talk quite a bit, William Saliba. A lot of his fans and supporters have talked the talk quite a bit. Well, now's the time to walk the walk. Come back to Arsenal. Show us what you can do. And you can be part of this project and part of us in our quest to move forward. So, yeah, you know, let's see how it goes. And this is a really good comment from Steve in the chat. And I completely agree with this. My only criticism of Arsenal in handling the Saliba situation was that failure to register him. Other than that, I'm happy with his loans. So I do think that when that happened, it was because the club were trying to get him out on loan. But then if you do leave him out, you can't fail to make that loan deal happen. Like, you can't fail and leave him sitting on the sidelines. And I've said that time and time again. That for me was the thing that I would put at Arsenal's door and say, you made a mistake here. And I can understand why the player would have felt the way he felt, having been sort of cast aside. I totally get that. But this is where you learn a lot about a player's character as well. You know, can William Saliba bounce back from that? Well, I think the fact that he went to Marseille, a club where you play under a lot of pressure, there's a lot of expectation, and improved, took his game up to another level. I think all of that suggests that he is someone who's, you know, willing to get his head down and move on and put it right. The speculation around him has been unhelpful. In fact, I'm sick of saying his name. I only want to say his name now moving forward in a positive light, because he's somebody that's going to be a part of the makeup of this defense going into the new campaign. And I'm happy with that. I said time and time again that my preference was to see William Saliba given an opportunity at Arsenal. And it looks as though we're going to get that wish. So let's stop focusing on all of that stuff and worrying about Mikel Arteta's man management and all of that stuff that has come alongside that particular conversation, and focus on William Saliba, the player, and what he can bring to this team in the here and now. But it does, again, serve as a real lesson, doesn't it, to Arsenal fans and people online who want to jump on every little thing and make a mountain out of a molehill at every opportunity. I remember people telling me that Gabriel Martinelli was unhappy at Arsenal and that he wanted to leave because Mikel Arteta wasn't giving him enough game time. I have not seen a single thing to suggest that that relationship between Martinelli and Arteta is strained. You know, Martinelli scored a goal on the final day of the season. What did he do? He went straight to the coaching staff, which suggests that he's got that bond with them, which suggests that he feels like he's a part of the team, that he's part of the project, that he is a real key player in what Mikel Arteta and Arsenal are trying to build. So that that myth was totally dispelled. And I think in time, you're going to see the William Saliba one too. As I say, it's a little bit different in this situation because for me, he had every right to be upset and disappointed and frustrated by the fact that he wasn't registered. But, you know, I think he would agree that the loan deal has done him the world of good. And I don't see why we have to look at it as a negative now, when actually we're getting back a player in a much better shape, in a much better state, and at a much higher level than the one that we loaned out at the start of last season. So I'm positive. I am positive about what he can bring to the team. I really, really am. And as I say, delighted that that speculation has been put to an end, and now we can focus on attaining some of our targets in terms of the transfer market. So that's the latest on William Saliba. Moving on, let's talk about Youri Tielemans, because there have been suggestions that he is right at the top of Arsenal's wish list when it comes to midfielders. And over the weekend, we've heard a number of reports claiming that Arsenal are now, and I quote, confident of getting the Youri Tielemans deal done sooner rather than later. Now, we understand that Leicester City are open to accepting an offer of around about £25 to £30 million because of Youri Tielemans' contract situation. And we understand that the player's representatives have indicated that he'd be more than happy to join Arsenal Football Club. This, for me, is a deal that we just need to go out and do. It's a deal that we need to go out and get done ASAP. Let's make it happen. Let's try where possible. And I know it's not always possible, but let's try where possible to wrap up the business as soon as possible. How many times am I going to say possible in the space of a minute? Possible. I've overdone it. There you go. But look, it would be great, wouldn't it, if we could get, you know, particularly some of the key signings in ahead of that trip to the US and really embedded in with the club and with their teammates and with their colleagues and with their manager ahead of time. But, you know, positive noises coming out with regards to that interest in Youri Tielemans, although nothing is confirmed yet. You don't want to run before you can walk and all of that. But the noises that we're hearing suggest that Arsenal are really interested in doing this deal, that the player is interested in himself, and that there is a confidence that they can come to some sort of agreement with his current club, Leicester City. Also want to touch on Kieran Tierney, who is said to be slightly ahead of schedule in his recovery from that injury that kept him out at the back end of last season. He did miss Scotland's World Cup qualifier with Ukraine, a game in which they were beaten. I wonder if the result might have been slightly different had he played. Who knows? But anyway, at the end of the day, it's good news for Arsenal, because the hope is that he'll be fit and ready to travel with the team to their US tour in time, which will be great. It means, as I say, that he's slightly ahead of schedule and that we could be able to select him from the start, the very start of the new season, which will be a big bonus moving forward. I think we saw how badly we missed both he and Tomiyasu at various points in the run-in last season. You know, you can make the argument that during the summer we need to bring in more fullbacks. I think from what I've been reading, from what I've been hearing, right back is not a position that Arsenal are looking to address. It's quite clear from what the noises are that the club at least are very, very happy with what Cedric Suarez has done so far. I think with William Saliba coming back in as well, you know, if he's able to you know, come in and establish himself and really impress from the off and hit the ground running. That then gives you the option as well, doesn't it, of potentially moving Ben White out to right back in an emergency. So you then have essentially three right back options. So I can understand why that's not a priority for Arsenal this summer. On the left-hand side, I think that we could do with adding someone. And Aaron Hickey's obviously been heavily linked with a move to Arsenal. Will that deal get done? That remains to be seen. But the interesting thing with Aaron Hickey is his ability to play on both sides, which is a massive positive. But I do think that if Hickey comes in, that opens the door for Nuno Tavares to go out on loan. And I just wonder if Mikel Arteta and Arsenal are willing to give Nuno Tavares one more opportunity to show himself as a capable deputy for Kieran Tierney. But let's see. Let's see on that. Okay, we talked the other day about Gianluca Scamacca, the Sassuolo striker, and we relayed some reports that claimed that the Sassuolo man had rejected the opportunity to move to Arsenal because he has his heart set on a move to Inter. Now, this is giving me Vlahovic vibes, right? We've got a club in Sassuolo, just like Fiorentina were, who are actually quite happy with what Arsenal are proposing in terms of finances to try and get the deal done. But we've got a player who has his heart set elsewhere. Now, this is not uncommon in Italian football for Italian players to want to join the elite clubs within their country. It's something we have seen for years and years and years. And as big and as great and as fantastic as Arsenal are, Inter are in the Champions League next season, and they will be serious contenders for the Scudetto again. So you can understand why Gianluca Scamacca would probably prefer to join the Nerazzurri over Arsenal. You've got to remember, we're Arsenal fans. We're biased. We're massively biased. We don't think that there's anything better in the world than Arsenal Football Club. But for a player who has no affiliation whatsoever, there will be more attractive propositions at times. And I'm a little bit scared of getting sucked into this, just like we did with the Vlahovic thing. You know, we all got excited about it. We got on board with it. We thought that this would be the right move for us, only to basically have the door slammed shut in our faces by a player who was never really and truly interested in joining Arsenal Football Club. So I know people say that, you know, and that you should never put your eggs in the basket of a player that doesn't want to join you. I get that. But at some point, you have to change the narrative. At some point, you have to be able to go out and convince people that of all the options available to them, this is the one for them. And you will have to do that at various points. I'm not so big on Gianluca Scamacca that I think that this is one we really need to go out on a limb for. You know, if he's not interested, then so be it. But it is clear from some of the reports that we're getting from Italy that Sassuolo are very happy to sell him because they need the money. You know, 40 million euros is the price most commonly being bandied about. And as I say, it looks like Sassuolo are not stopping Arsenal. But that verbal agreement that he's said to have with Inter could be a deal breaker. Moving on, I just want to quickly touch on another striker in Serie A. I saw a headline this morning, Giovanni Simeone of Hellas Verona being linked with a move to the Gunners. A lot of people kind of get excited about this because he's Simeone's son, which automatically must mean that he's the biggest shithouse in football. But what I will say about Giovanni Simeone is, as a big Serie A fan, he's somebody who has threatened on numerous occasions to explode into life and become an elite striker. He's somebody who has threatened it, but is yet to really make it happen. And that's the reality about Giovanni Simeone. He's 26 years old at the moment. Okay, he played 36 matches in the Serie A last season, started 32, scored 17 goals, which for a club like Hellas Verona is not to be sniffed at. But this is what happens with Giovanni Simeone. If you look back through his entire career, there's always been these really sort of positive moments where his stock has like been up here, and then there's a very quick decline before he then manages to convince you again that he's a top player. It's over and over again. It's the same thing with Giovanni Simeone. So this is not one in particular that I am massive on. I quite like him as a Serie A fan, as I say, but would I be going out on a limb if I were Arsenal? No, probably not, to be honest with you. And I don't really believe that that report has any legs, but I thought I'd bring it to your attention as it is doing the rounds. Let's quickly touch on Gabriel Jesus. What is the latest with the Brazilian who's been heavily, heavily linked with a move to Arsenal? Well, we heard some reports yesterday suggesting that Arsenal have agreed personal terms with the player and that his wage packet is likely to be worth around 190,000 to 200,000 per week. Now, it's not clear if indeed this is true, how that is made up, whether there's bonuses in that, whether there's a signing on fee incorporated in that. Because one thing I've learned from working in the media is that people don't really have much regard for the ins and outs of something. And instead, they'd rather push the clickbait headline on you and the the dramatic side of a story in order to buy your interest. And then they'll break it down and then they'll try and explain themselves. And I think we've seen this a lot in recent seasons where players have made moves and we've seen it go, you know, this deal is worth blah, 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 blah. Yeah, but it's you're taking into account every single possible bonus that that player could earn, when the likelihood of them earning every single bonus and ticking every single box over the duration of the season is not always that likely. So I'm not getting too carried away with the numbers. But what I would say is that if you want Gabriel Jesus, a player who has ended the season brilliantly for Manchester City, who's leaving a club that don't need to sell for money reasons, who is up here in terms of his stock right now, you are going to need to break the bank. You have to break the bank. I was speaking to a friend of mine earlier and he said, you know, that's a lot of money and we kind of end up being in the position we were in with Aubameyang. If you want to be competitive, that's what it takes. If you want to be among the elite, that's what you have to do. That's the way it works. You know, I think what we do though as well, or what we've seen Arsenal do in the past is pay people a salary that was incredibly excessive based on what they did in the past, as opposed to looking at what they might do in the future. Now, when we gave Aubameyang, for example, that bumper contract that was rumored to be worth 350 grand a week or whatever it was, we'd already seen the best of Aubameyang. We could all see that the only way really for Aubameyang was either to stay level or down. There was no more upward trajectory from Aubameyang. There was no more to come. Whereas with Gabriel Jesus, you look at someone who, you know, is 26 years old or whatever he is and still has a long way to go in terms of being able to perform at a higher level and offer us his services while still at his peak. So I actually think that for me, this makes a lot more sense than the Aubameyang one did from a monetary perspective, because we got caught up in what Aubameyang had already done. We got caught up in what Aubameyang had brought to the table. We got caught up in the fact that he just won us an FA Cup pretty much single-handedly with braces in both the semi and finals. So yeah, you have to think about that. That's how you do sensible business. Sometimes what you'll see is when a transfer fee is lower, a club might feel that they can stretch themselves a little bit on the wages because they've saved in the transfer fee. Sometimes when you sign players on a free transfer, you end up paying over the odds to convince them that yours is the place that they should go. And you don't mind spending that little bit more money because you haven't, as I say, paid the fee to attain them. So there's lots and lots of stuff to consider. But that's the report. Also being said that Real Madrid are interested in him as well. I wonder if this is a ploy from Manchester City in some way, shape or form to try and drive up the asking price for Gabriel Jesus, which we think is going to be around about 40, 45 million pounds. So that's the latest Arsenal stuff from today. I'm going to touch on a few other bits and pieces, and then I want to get your thoughts and questions as well from the live chat box. But before I do that, I just want to ask if you could please kindly hit that like button if you're watching us live on YouTube or on playback via YouTube, because there are over 400 of you with me right now, 400 of you already. And we've only got about 79 likes on the board, which just for me isn't good enough. So please, please do smash that like button. And of course, if you're new to the channel, give us a subscribe. I really, really do appreciate it. Right, going to take a very, very short pause. Then we'll be talking about some of the international football that took place over the weekend, as well as taking your questions for the remainder of the episode. Welcome back to part two of the Chronicles of a Gooner, the Arsenal podcast, part of the 90 Min Football Network. Daniel West says, congratulations on the 10 years with the missus, brother. Someone's been following me on Instagram. Thank you so much, mate. Really do appreciate it. Not my wedding anniversary. My wedding anniversary is on Friday and I'm out. I'm out working. For those of you that don't know, in a previous life, I was a Greek musician, and I am doing a gig on Friday night, which is my 10-year wedding, 10-year, 5-year wedding anniversary, 10 together, 5 married. So I have to, you know, make it up to her in the days leading up and in the days after. So I thought I'd put a nice soppy Instagram post out. But yeah, thank you. And do you know what? She's one of the driving forces behind the Chronicles of a Gooner, because if she nagged me too much, probably wouldn't do anywhere near as much content as I do. So I have to thank her for that for sure. Okay. What else have we got? Right, let's go on to the international football then. Let's talk about Wales. Congratulations to Wales for making their first World Cup in 64 years. I mean, what an achievement. I think, look, it was one of those, right, where sort of everybody that was neutral, I think, probably wanted to see Ukraine qualify because of everything that they've been going through. And because of everything that they've had to struggle with and deal with. But Gareth Bale has described this as the greatest result in Welsh football history. And I don't think that you can really argue with that, certainly in my lifetime anyway. You know, it's massive. It's massive. It's one thing qualifying for the Euros. That's great. Of course it is. But to make it to the finals of the World Cup is really, really something. And congratulations to them. I actually didn't think that Ukraine deserved to lose that game. I've got to be honest. And I certainly thought they deserved a penalty kick as well. So I thought they were really, 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 really unlucky, Ukraine. But it is what it is. It was one of those where I'd be happy for whichever of those two sides were to make it, and in this instance it was Wales. So congratulations to them. Gareth Bale going to keep going, I'm sure, and I'm sure he'll have some sort of impact at the World Cup. If I was Ukrainian, like Matt in our chat, big shout out to you, man. He says, big up to Wales, congrats to them, but I'm crushed. I would be crushed too, and more so because of the nature of sort of like their own goal, the penalty decision that didn't go your way. I think all of those things made it a really, really difficult night to take. Obviously, the fact that you were the better side for large periods as well. But yeah, is what it is. Wales have made it. Also, need to give a shout out to Greece. Back-to-back wins under their new manager, Gustavo Poyet. Greece winning back-to-back games is really quite something. I know they were against Northern Ireland and Kosovo, not the two strongest sides in the world. Both 1-0 wins, which is just so bloody Greece, isn't it? For those of you that remember Euro 2004, Bakasetas with the goals in both of those games. So, big shout out to Greece. Wanted to show some love to them for obviously getting over the line in those couple of games. And they play Cyprus on Wednesday night, the Simiu Derby. That is going to be really, really interesting. So I'm looking forward to watching that. Just circling back to the Ukraine game before I go on to your questions. So actually, now's the time to start filling up the chat box with your questions. If you've already put a question in, put it in again with a cue at the beginning, because the chances are that I've missed it as the chat box updates. So do get them in now. Zinchenko, circling back to the Ukraine game. What a performance from him again. Only reinforcing my desire to see him come to Arsenal this summer if a deal is able to be struck. And also, we've got to talk about England, who lost against Hungary. And you know what? I mean, I'm not an England fan, okay? I'm not an England fan, I've got to be honest. I never really have been. And I never really have been because, obviously, my family background is not English. Yes, I've grown up in England, and that's great. And, you know, I'm grateful for being a British citizen and all of that. But I've never really been able to, like, without having that sort of patriotic thing inside you, I've never been able to warm to watching Spurs players and Man United players and Liverpool players and Chelsea players sort of pulling on the shirt and then being able to kind of switch it all off and get behind them. in tournaments. In fact, I prefer Harry Kane never to win anything in his career. I prefer to watch United and Liverpool players suffer. Like, that's just me. It sounds horrible. It sounds cynical. But I literally, genuinely do not have any affiliation to England whatsoever as a football team. What I would say is there was quite a bit of debate going around on social media the other day, a debate that I got involved in with regards to Gareth Southgate. And I said something like, you know, I don't really understand why there's so much criticism of Gareth Southgate. I keep getting told that, you know, this is the best England squad and it's really deep and in terms of its depth, and it should be competing for the world's biggest trophies. And, you know, in his last two tournaments, he's taken them to the semi-finals of the World Cup. And then he's taken them to the final of the Euros, where they were narrowly beaten in a penalty shootout. And you just think to yourself, like, where does this entitlement come from? You know, England fans saying that Gareth Southgate has done an awful job, and if it wasn't for him, you know, they'd have won silverware. That's complete and utter nonsense. Why do England fans, and answer this in the chat, you know, why is there this sense of entitlement? And why do they talk about England as a footballing nation as if they are one that wins on a regular basis? They haven't won an honour, a major honour, since 1966. My dad was 2 years old. My dad. And I'm a 31-year-old man with a couple of kids. You know, this level of entitlement drives me crazy, because really and truly, you know, they're not at that level. So what he's done is he's set the bar higher, which is great. And I think he deserves a lot of credit for that. I really, really do. Okay, let's go over to the chat box and get some of your questions. See what you guys are saying. Oh, Dimitri's a Ukrainian as well. Sorry, mate. I didn't see you there in the chat. I hope you're well as well, my friend. Let's see. Junior Gunner says, only Jorginho, Ogbonna, Golini are a prep. Let me start that again. Only Jorginho, Ogbonna and Golini are representing in the Premier League. Does that show Italian players have a strong affinity to Serie A and are not interested in Premier League football? Absolutely. And it's not that they're not interested. It's that they really culturally value their league and their product and what Serie A stands for and the history of it. And the history of it is superb. That's why I'm such a big Serie A fan. And I say this to people all the time. If I didn't work covering Arsenal and I didn't work covering predominantly Premier League football, I would probably spend the larger chunk of my weekend watching the Serie A, because there's something about it that really draws me in. And I'm a Greek boy that grew up in London. So if that has that effect on me and so many others, then imagine being Italian and growing up supporting one of those big clubs and, you know, feeling the magic of it all. You can understand why they have that connection and why they don't want it to sort of disappear. Alex says, get your bouzouki out, please. Is it even in the room? Hold on a second. Maybe at the end, because it's right on the other side of the room. I'll do it one day, I promise. John Knott, this is a really good question. Have the Alexander Isak links disappeared? Do you know what? I haven't heard anything about it, have we, this summer? It was really, really strong in January. There was a lot of talk about it in January. And I told you guys that I'd heard that Arsenal had made an approach to Real Sociedad, not a formal offer, but an approach to inquire as to whether there was any movement on the asking price, because, of course, Real Sociedad had sort of been making all sorts of noises, suggesting that the buyout clause, which was, I think, 90 million euros, was all that they would entertain. And I do think that Arsenal went and inquired if they could perhaps open dialogue at a lower number. And from what I understand, they were told no. Real Sociedad didn't want to lose him mid-season. And since then, it's gone, what we're led to believe, completely cold. And that is strange, because if Arsenal were that interested in a player, why has it gone completely cold and completely dead? I think they've just perhaps come to the realisation and accepted that Real Sociedad aren't willing to play ball for a reasonable amount of money. And therefore, we are where we are. That he's not worth 90 million euros. He's not worth 75 million pounds. That's the bottom line. He didn't have a great season last time around. And so, you know, you can understand why it's gone a little bit quiet. But to be completely dead, John, the way it is now, come as a big surprise to me, I have to say. AO Martin says, Fabian Ruiz, Bissouma, or Tielemans? You can only sign one. Who are you going for? I'd probably go for Tielemans at this moment in time. And I've explained this before, so I don't want to bore you guys. But for me, when you look at the way we play now, which is with the one-man defensive midfield anchor, that's Mikel's preferred way of playing right now. He's had to adapt that at the back end of the season with Thomas Partey being out and with Mohamed Elneny coming into the side, who's of a slightly different profile and, let's be honest, isn't as good as Thomas Partey. We saw that adapted slightly. But I think overall, what we saw in the last few months was a desire from Arteta to play with that one-man defensive midfield anchor and have his left-sided central midfield player be that little bit more advanced, a little bit more adventurous and get into those attacking areas far more frequently. Yuri Tielemans, in that case, is the best fit of those three for me because he's the one that offers the most in the final third. He's the one that offers the ability to break lines, the engine as well. You know, well, you could argue that Bissouma's got the engine as well, but I just think Tielemans is a little bit more refined, a little bit more technical than Yves Bissouma. And Fabian Ruiz, for me, again, big Serie A viewer, doesn't necessarily have the mobility that I think a lot of Arsenal fans will feel is necessary. When I think of Fabian Ruiz, right, and I think he's a really good player, just like I think Granit Xhaka is a good player, but all of the things that I hear from Arsenal fans with regards to criticisms of Granit Xhaka, I promise you, you will hear when Fabian Ruiz, if Fabian Ruiz comes to Arsenal. Because in that, in the mobility sense, in the way he carries himself, in his build, in his, you know, in his stature, he's very, very similar. Looks a bit too clunky to be up and down the pitch all the time, but has a bit of a physical presence. It's not to knock Fabian Ruiz, but if you can't appreciate what Granit Xhaka brings to the side, then I don't know how you can look at Fabian Ruiz and think that he'd be a great fit. That baffles me. It's just kind of that natural bias that some people have towards the shiny new toy, right? But that's my thoughts on that. Oh my God, so many questions. Wow. We'll do a few more. Justin says, and if I miss some, I do apologize. Try and put them in the comment section after the stream ends, and I'll try and pick up as many of those as I possibly can as well. Justin says, what is your guess on how much Arsenal are willing to spend this summer? 100 million, 200 million? I don't think it's dollars. I think it'll be pounds, Justin. But I'd imagine that it's probably going to be closer to the 100 million. Mark this time around. We talked about it the other day, didn't we? That there's just a few whispers and a few noises that Arsenal aren't able maybe to go or willing to go as big as they did last summer. I didn't expect them to go as big anyway in terms of the number of players that they're going to bring in. But I did think the spend might well end up being quite similar because of the caliber of player that we're now said to be looking at. I'd imagine, you know, if we could get, let's just say, you know, hypothetically speaking, if we could get Gabriel Jesus for about 40, 45 million, if you could get Yuri Tielemans for 25, 30 million, and then you could get one or two more players, squad players, players that you think would add something to the group for the remaining, I don't know, what's that, you know, the remaining 25, 30 million pounds, then I think that's probably the most likely outcome at this moment in time. Maybe they'll surprise us. Maybe they won't. Who knows? But I think it will be closer to the £100 million mark than the £200 million mark, if I'm honest. Chinomso says, I beg your pardon. So sorry. What's happening with the Zinchenko link? I think he'll be a better option to Hickey, considering he'll be suited for both right back and centre midfield. Any progress with this link? Oh, he'd be suited to left back more than right back, obviously being a left-footed player. But yeah, I would rather Zinchenko came in over Aaron Hickey. I've got to be honest, because of those reasons that you mentioned, but also just because he's more experienced, he's ready to go, he's ready to come and add something now. And at some point when you're building and you're building and you're building and you're building and you're going signing players of a certain age profile and you're doing all of that good stuff, there needs to be a point where you go, okay, but where are we today? And can we compete today? So, yeah. Billy Anderson says, are you as fed up as me of so many players, Arsenal, are just letting go for free. We're terminating contracts for fun. If Bellerin wants to go, he should do what Willian did and cancel his own contract. I mean, it's not ideal, Billy, right? In an ideal world, you'd love to see Arsenal recuperate in transfer fees for these players, but you can't sell something that nobody wants to pay for. And that's what it comes down to ultimately, right? These players have been cast aside by Arsenal, sent out on loan. It's been made clear that they're not part of the plans moving forward. And therefore, if they don't hold any value to Arsenal, how do you expect them to hold any value to those looking from the outside in? So I'm not surprised that we're in this situation again with specifically who you've mentioned there, Hector Bellerin. But I do believe that Arsenal will terminate that contract. I don't think any progress will be made between Betis and Arsenal. And I do expect that we're going to hear of that contract being terminated at some point during this summer. Arsenal have kind of set a precedent for doing that now. And while we kind of praise the club for being ruthless and just cutting their losses with some of these players, the flip side is, and the danger of doing that was the precedent that we've now set. And the fact that a lot of these clubs that are cash strapped, your Real Betises, your Fiorentinas that are looking at Lucas Torreira, they will now feel like if they do play hardball, if they do let this drag out, there is a good chance they'll be able to take advantage a little bit later on. Okay. Let's pick out a few more. Crow Takes Flight says, do you think Norton Cuffey will be part of the squad next season? I don't think he'll be part of the squad next season, but I think there is a real feeling at Arsenal that he is someone with a big future ahead of him. And that could play into what I was saying a little bit earlier on with the right back situation. I've been told that Arsenal are not looking at a right back this summer. I've been told that they're happy with Cedric Suarez at right back, and that Ben White would be the emergency cover if Tomiyasu was to go for a difficult period again. But yeah, I don't expect Norton Covey to come in and be part of the squad, but I do think there is a feeling that he's got a big future ahead of him. And so Arsenal will certainly be bearing that in mind. Danny Boy says, Harry, your channel's top of my list. Props to you, mate. Thank you so much. He's a Guna from the Philippines. Big love to everybody watching out in the Philippines, because I know we've got a fair few viewers from that part of the world. So a big thank you to all of you. Andreas Kiprianu, who is a Leicester fan, says, you're not having him. I'm assuming you're talking about Yuri Tielemans. Well, this is the thing, mate. Like, Leicester have put themselves in a position now where if they don't sell, he walks away for free come the end of next season. Plus, when you add to that, that the player will probably be a little bit unhappy and, you know, his mind might be elsewhere. That, for me, is something that you've got to weigh up when considering whether or not you should accept the £25-30 million bid or whatever it is today, as opposed to waiting. So, yeah, I think there's a good chance that he does join Arsenal. I am sorry to tell you. Matt says, what do you think the future is for Ainsley Maitland-Niles and Reece Nelson? I think they're both gone, mate. I don't see any of them playing for Arsenal again. Ainsley Maitland-Niles went to Roma, completely underwhelmed again, showed that, you know, he's not quite ready. I don't know what it's down to. Is it attitude? Is it that he doesn't have the ability that maybe we thought he did when he first broke through into the Arsenal side? I really don't know. And perhaps if that news does come along, if we do hear something on Maitland-Niles, we can do a bit more of a deep dive into what exactly has gone wrong there. But I don't think his future is at Arsenal, put it that way. And I don't think that Reece Nelson has a future at Arsenal either. I think that I didn't know there's a good chance that that he's gone as well. What else have we got? Again, apologies if I missed some of your questions, because there are so many come through that the chat box is constantly updating. And so it's impossible for me to pick them all up. Big hello to Michael Hamilton, who joins us from Guyana in South America. He says, I really look forward to your shows. Thank you so much, mate. Really appreciate you tuning in, and a big shout out to everybody in South America, and particularly Guyana as well. Jack Gold says, met a guy in the gym who's a twin of UH. Definitely wasn't me, because I definitely wasn't in the gym. He says, him and his mate spoke to me for 5 minutes, making me think he was you. It was hilarious. Oh, my word. This is Jack Gold from Norbury, South London. I think I was talking a little bit earlier on about a gig I'm doing on Friday night, which is my wedding anniversary. I know I completely slipped my mind when I took it. I think it might be in Norbury. I'm not 100%. I will check out the details. But I think it is in that neck of the woods. So I might be down there. You might actually bump into the real me this time. Right, what else have we got? Gunning You Down says, question, what if Arteta doesn't get top four and wins no trophies this season? Well, then we can have a conversation about Mikel Arteta's future. But it's this... This is the kind of shit that Mikel has to deal with all the time, which is that. And listen, it's a fair question to ask. And I'm not, you know, I'm not digging you out personally, but this is the kind of, in my opinion, hyperbole that is just completely unhelpful. Like, yeah, question decisions that you think are wrong. Yes, be constructive and, be constructive and be, I don't know, you know, strong on your opinions, on your views about certain elements and stick to them. But you're basically talking about failing. Or you're talking about failure before we failed. And it's like, come on, man. Like, he signed a new contract. He's going to be our manager next season. There may be a point where we have to reevaluate that. And just because he signed a contract doesn't mean he's going to be here for the entire duration of it. How many times have we seen managers sacked prematurely? But the point I'm trying to make here is, like, we've just had a season in which we've shown progress. In some people's eyes, it wasn't enough, but in a lot of people's eyes, it was respectable enough to say that, okay, we're moving in the right direction. Let's see how the summer goes and let's see how the season goes. I mean, we don't need to be talking about what's going to happen to Mikel Arteta if we don't do this and if we don't do that, because that's not happened yet. And I always think, like, if you go into a new season as such a pessimist, then, like, does football really excite you? Is football something that you really enjoy? Is it something for you? I don't know. I mean, for me, the great thing about football is that there's always the next game. There's always the next season. And it kind of gives you an opportunity to reset and be hopeful and be positive. Like, here we go. Felix, Harry, you left your nuts in Arteta's mouth, mate. Oh, my Jesus. The tip after dark, Mr. Felix Boru. Whatever, man. I always say this to people, because over the last couple of months since Arsenal sort of failed to finish in the top four, I get so much stick online from people that are like proper anti-Mikel Arteta. How can you ever be so anti an Arsenal manager? I don't know. I don't get it. But anyway, if you do not like the content and you do not enjoy my opinions, don't listen. Don't watch. You know, it's not compulsory. Nobody is forcing you to log on to YouTube when the notification comes up and sit and watch or listen to this show. Those who do, I'm hugely appreciative of, because you come even, and loads of you disagree with me, but you come because we have that mutual respect that we can have a debate and we can have a discussion and we can talk all around the subject, and everybody kind of comes away. You know, from my side, I come away thinking of things that I wouldn't have thought of that you guys have prompted me, and vice versa. But, you know, you don't have to watch it. I mean, there was a comment the other day, this is the worst content I've ever seen. Why are you watching it then? And it's always the people that are there every single episode. It's mad. But anyway. Let's see what else we've got. And the other one, the other classic is, oh, you must be on the club's payroll. I've just forked out to renew my season ticket, just like everybody else, out of my hard-earned cash, out of my own pocket. I don't get any perks for not screaming and shouting about our manager on TV, you know, and on the radio and on YouTube. It is what it is anyway. Okay. As Matt says, let's not feed the haters. Yes, indeed. Let's pick up a couple more. Oh yeah, Gunning You Down says, I respect your opinion. I was just asking a realistic possibility considering the last 3 years. No, and just to be clear, mate, I don't agree with your question, but I wasn't having a go at you because you put the question in a normal way. It was people telling me that I got my nuts in all different places. It's nonsense. Let's take a couple more. Typically Arsenal fans says, if Inter Milan are going for Dybala and Lukaku, Scamacca won't be bought. and Milan have an abundance of strikers. Juventus have Vlahovic. So what are your thoughts? This is the thing, right? There's going to be a domino effect with Scamacca because, as you say, Paulo Dybala is very much on his way to Inter. Lukaku, I don't know that Chelsea are going to make that deal possible for Inter. Now, Inter would be open to it, but what I read last week was that Chelsea would let him go on loan initially with an obligation to buy at the end of it, which was worth a lot of money. And that would be a problem for Inter, who financially are not in a great place. Milan have an abundance of strikers, as you say, but the two of them are Zlatan Ibrahimovic and Olivier Giroud, who are, you know, on the wrong side of 30, you would say. It's going to be interesting. But again, it's one of those where we're going to have to wait. You know, we're going to have to wait and see how this goes. And very often, transfer activity is determined by those domino effects and determined by movement elsewhere. So you've got to be mindful of that. Like I was saying it to a mate earlier today, who was like, "Come on, we need to get the business done quickly. Smash it out. What's going on? What's going on?" And I get that. I get that desire to see it all wrapped up and all done and dusted as quickly as possible. But I mean, it's not always in your hands, right? You know, it's like when you buy, I always use this comparison. It's like when you're buying a house. Okay. There are so many people involved in that process. Solicitors, lawyers, mortgage brokers, estate agents, sellers, buyers. There's so many people in that process that you might be ready to get it done just like that. But if not everybody's on the same page, there are delays and things take time. And that's the way transfers work as well. You know, there are so many moving parts to a transfer. And if you think about, I always use this analogy, but if you think about how long it takes to purchase a property and you compare that to a transfer where you're talking about tens of millions of pounds, which is much more than any property I'll ever be buying, that's for sure. Then all of a sudden, you have to start to realize and understand that actually, yeah, some deals we've seen get over the line really, really quickly. But we've seen lots that take time. Some have dragged out through entire summers. How often have we talked about sagas during transfer windows? It's the way it goes. And so, you know, it's way too early in the window to be panicked. You don't want to move too soon if you're not sure about something, because then you might miss an opportunity that presents itself because of movement elsewhere later down the line. So in the case of Scamacca, if Arsenal really want him, they might have to wait. Now, I don't even know that they do. And I'm not 100% convinced that he's at the top of the list. But if they did want him, this is one of those where you're going to have to sit back and bide your time for a little bit, because there are so many moving parts to this that could impact you and have a knock-on effect. If you want Youri Tielemans, this is different. You know what you need to pay, and you probably know what you need to do to convince him, go out there and do it. But in the Scamacca case, where he's interested in Inter interested in others, there's so many moving parts. You can't expect those deals to be done bang overnight. And let's be honest, and I'm assuming that people don't really know this, because they wouldn't be so panicky if they did. Well, a lot of people don't know this. The transfer window isn't even open yet. So there we go. Anyway, look, some amazing comments, some amazing questions. And as always, fantastic participation from all of you guys in the live chat. But I do have to leave it there. We are going to be back later on today at 5 p.m. It will be a pre-recorded episode, which I'm recording in a little bit. With 90 Min's US football editor, Lizzie Bescherano, who I had the pleasure of meeting in Barcelona on the 90 Min conference. She's so clued up on MLS and the American game that I thought she'd be a great person to talk to with regards to Matt Turner and Austin Trusty, players that Arsenal have signed and players that are going to be joining up with the club in the not too distant future. So I'm going to pick Lizzie's brains about those two, and we'll be putting out a Matt Turner special a little bit later on this evening. What have Arsenal signed in the US national men's team goalkeeper? Well, we'll find out a little bit later on. Be sure to hit the like button if you haven't done so already. There's been over 500 of you with us live. only 169 now likes on the board. Let's get that up to 200 by the time the stream ends. And I'll catch you all later on today with some more Arsenal content. Until then, take care. Goodbye.
I'm Martin Tyler, and you're listening to Harry Simeon.